from riches to a lot more riches.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. You've heard of Fidelity and probably Barclays, gigantic wealth managers, but there's a new king of the jungle. Last night, New York-based BlackRock agreed to buy an investment arm of Barclays for $13.5 billion and become the world's biggest asset manager. It's an amazing success story, says analyst Doug Foreman at Highmark Capital in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's really incredible the amount of growth that this small institutional mortgage manager has shown since they came public in the late 90s. They've really been very acquisitive, and this is sort of the latest one, which catapults them into a whole new league of their own.
And here's another story of small meets big. General Motors is reportedly close to selling Saab to a little Swedish sports car company called Koenigsegg. Can't even say it, so small. From our European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
Koenigsegg is not exactly in the business of mass production. Last year, it sold just 18 of its sports cars. That compares with Saab sales of 98,000. But Koenigsegg is believed to charge $1 million or more for its vehicles, and the company is profitable. It would like to apply its knowledge of niche production and marketing to Saab to try to reverse what is seen as the decline of the brand under General Motors. David Bailey is with the Coventry Business School.
I think Koenigsegg will have to move the brand up market and restore kind of some of the premium feel to the cars in order to sell them at a higher price in order to make a profit. That's the only way they'll ever make a profit out of the brand.
General Motors never made a profit out of Saab, and now it's reportedly paying $500 million in assets and cash to get shot of the company, far more than Koenigsegg is said to be shelling out. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The S&P 500 is down 0.25% this morning. The NASDAQ down 0.5%. The Dow is off less than a point, though, 8,770. All this despite the fact that consumer confidence is at a nine-month high, according to this morning's Reuters University of Michigan survey. Major European markets are lower by less than a percent. Asian markets ended mostly higher. For help with the foreclosure crisis, several big city American mayors have turned to the nonprofit group Acorn. Acorn has been working with tenants in low-income communities for years. They've also made a few Republican enemies. Joel Rose reports.
When Desiree Jones Wright fell behind on her mortgage payments last year, she says she tried negotiating with her lender.
It didn't go well at all. They don't really want to talk to you as a runaround.
Then a representative from the Philadelphia chapter of Acorn knocked on her door. That's how Jones Wright heard about a new city program Acorn helped develop. The program requires lenders and borrowers to sit down with a mediator and renegotiate distressed loans. So far, city officials say the program has helped 1,200 people stay in their homes, including Jones Wright. And other cities are taking note. Yesterday, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said he'd like to see a similar approach.
Settlement conferences should be available, we think, to all owners of single-family dwellings, and foreclosures can't proceed until such conferences are concluded.
Bloomberg went on to praise the work of Acorn. Some Republicans in Congress have tried to block the organization from getting federal funds because of allegations of voter fraud stemming from last year's presidential election. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This week, the White House said it will speed up stimulus spending to save or create 600,000 jobs. But how do you count those jobs? Tamara Keith tried to find out by revisiting a project she first told us about last month. It's the very first road project to start construction as part of the stimulus package, a repaving project on a mile-long stretch of road in suburban Washington, D.C.
About 20 people now working on the New Hampshire Avenue repaving project would be jobless if not for stimulus money. But can workers at the asphalt plant supplying that project count their jobs as a stimulus success, too? This week, dignitaries in suits and hard hats cut through a big red ribbon to mark the official opening of the Independence Construction Materials plant in Jessup, Maryland.
There we go.
The plant is already shipping asphalt to stimulus projects, but it almost wasn't built. Ross Myers is CEO of American Infrastructure, the parent company for the asphalt firm. Last fall, when it became clear the economy was a wreck, he thought hard about putting the plant on hold.
And we decided to go ahead because it was going to provide jobs for our people. And we're happy to say that we actually have quite a nice backlog for it.
And Myers thanks the stimulus money for that backlog. While it only takes 6 people to operate the plant, nearly 100 will be working in the asphalt supply chain. Company executives can't say exactly how many of those jobs are truly stimulus jobs. And therein lies the challenge.
You're getting at exactly the difficulty in my life because I'm the one that's supposed to come up with numbers on that.
Christina Romer is chair of the President's Council of Economic Advisors. She says the administration will receive quarterly reports from agencies about where their stimulus money is going, but they won't include indirect impacts.
They surely won't have information on the sandwich shop where the workers went and got their sandwiches. They won't have information on once you hired these workers and they went out, now had income and went out and bought things. We won't have numbers on that.
But there's no simple formula for calculating that. Peter Morisi is an economist at the University of Maryland. Looking at data on government employment and construction jobs, he's just not buying the Obama administration's claims of job creation.
You can find some workers around the country that owe their employment to the stimulus package. 150,000 will be hard to identify, and certainly going forward over the next 100 days, another 600,000, that's going to take some magic to accomplish.
He says the jobs that are created, like those supplying asphalt to stimulus projects, will be temporary. The folks at Independence Construction Materials realize that, but they're hoping the economy picks up before the stimulus work runs out. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Our blogger Scott Jagow is writing about stimulus jobs, too. Not how many, but where are those jobs coming from? He's at Marketplace.org. I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 3 points at 8,774. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.